Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is Johnny Mota with the AV Insider Show on the Rave Radio Network of Rave Publications. Today, I'm honored to be speaking with the EVP slash co-founder of Nakimatone Speakers. Hopefully, I didn't say that incorrectly because I have a tendency of doing that. And EVP is the executive vice president of Nakimatone. It's Eric Nakila. But before I have him on, as always, I like to thank my sponsor, which is Ingram Micro. They are the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out some of the product offerings that they have for you. Some of my previous guests have been or are in distribution through their website. I'd tell you who they are, but I'm just going to make you go to their website and find out, or just listen to my previous shows that you can find at Rave Pubs Radio. As I mentioned, I'm speaking with Eric Nakila. Eric, thank you very much for taking the time today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having myself on, Johnny.
It's a pleasure. So tell me, let's talk, before we talk about the company, maybe can you tell me a little bit about your background before this company was in existence?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is custom integration. I come from a line of companies that we're integrating technology, and some still are integrating technology here in the Toronto area in Canada. Basically saw it all, heard it all, experienced it all in terms of audio, video, and automation. And that's how I actually got introduced to what we have today, which we can delve into as well at some point. So I started in 1997 in the industry.
1997, okay. And that was like a commercial or residential or just a custom integration company?
So the first company I worked for was a smaller company, like a mom and pop shop, where we did the likes of Bowers and Wilkins, Class A. Back then we had the Sony CRT projectors, and we were doing, you know, a wide range of high-end residential. And that's really, you know, I was very young at that age and was learning a lot, and that led on to other companies as well in the city, where we had, you know, larger companies that I worked for, like Chroma Radio, Brack Electronics. Anybody that's in from this area will recognize those names, and some of them have passed away and some of them have retired in terms of companies. But we also did start our own integration company later on in the late 2000s. So 2007, we started our own integration company.
And now here we are today in the latter part of 2015, where this company, Nakimatone, and hopefully I say that right every time I keep either butchering it or saying it correctly.
No, it's perfect.
Is in existence. And was the official launch last Cydia? Is that correct or no?
So the official launch for the U.S. market was definitely last Cydia, okay. So 2014, at the end of last year. Previous to that, we did soft launches here in the Toronto area at the very beginning, and we officially launched Canada back in 2013.
Okay.
So officially what happened was I met Gottfried, who is the inventor of this technology, the CRT technology, which we can delve into later on as well in more detail. But Gottfried came to us through our integration company back in, I guess it was 2009 or so. And that's where I met him. And he told me about this great stuff that he had been working on, invisible speakers. And of course, my first reaction, like with most people about invisible speakers, was, oh yeah, sure, I've heard it all. Been there, done that, tried it. You know, it's only good for dining rooms where the interior designer forces us to put them in. And there's all these compromises. So that was my first reaction when I heard Gottfried, who's our lead head engineer behind the technology, tell me about this stuff that he had been working on. But that led us into probably about a year or so before Gottfried was able to get me to even listen to what he had been working on. So that must have been in 2010 or so when he first, you know, took me into this big warehouse where we had some equipment laying around, and he had some of these invisible speakers, the first iterations, the first prototypes of what we have today. And he let me hear them. And when he turned on this pair of invisible speakers that were built into these false walls in this huge warehouse, it blew me away. I could not believe the sound that was coming out of these invisible speakers that, you know, everyone always thinks, holy smokes, you can't make good sound with this type of product category. It blew me away. I literally turned around to Gottfried and I said, you know, I hadn't even thought about ever getting into this business. I turned to Gottfried and I said, look, this is awesome. We have to look at what we can do to share this with the rest of the world because it was that great. So that's where Nakima Tone really started, was in 2010 when Gottfried, who had already been working on this technology for probably, I'd say, 3 or 4 years prior to this, just on the side, he had been working on it and learned everything that that needs to be known about invisible technology and what we've created. And he had, you know, experimented with different technologies that were out there and found that there was a lot of problems in that category. And that, those were the, you know, problems that I had identified as well. And that was my reluctance as well to even look at, you know, what he had been working on, because I thought, you know, there's no way invisibles, you can't make them sound good. They're a pain in the butt to install. You know, there's all these different objections that always come up. And even so, you know, right now when we're telling new dealers about Nakima Tone, they're always like, oh yeah, I've heard them all, seen them all, don't want anything to do with them. But when they have that opportunity to experience what Nakima Tone has to offer, it puts down all those barriers, and usually they're signing up right away. So it's exciting. You know, it's exciting times for us.
Yeah, I'll agree with you that, I mean, like your story, you know, when Gottfried told you about another invisible speaker, and you're, I guess, probably very hesitant, or like everyone else, like, no, I'm okay, or the typical, we don't really use that unless a designer, you know, we don't want to see the speaker, and then the typical problems when going to that method of quote-unquote invisible speaker in a room as a solution, you typically don't think quality in terms of audio quality, because at least in my experience, there isn't really a whole lot of low-end to mid-range frequencies being experienced or in playback. And it's just a lot more work installing, so it's kind of like, like I said, there are a lot of trade-offs. Typically, is what I've seen in the past from many other, quote-unquote, invisible speakers out there.
Yeah, and you know, to the credit, or you know, not to the credit, but everyone who is in this loudspeaker business has been reluctant to introduce or to provide the industry with an invisible speaker because of all these barriers that they know exist in the mind of the installers, because they've been tainted. You know, so many guys have been out there, and you know, there was invisible speakers already back in the early 2000s. Sure. Even before that, there was some that were available, but they were like you just mentioned, they had all those faults. They sounded bad, the installation was a pain, and the quality just wasn't up to par. So that's where we really saw the opportunity. We wanted to address all these issues that we saw. When I heard these speakers in 2010, I knew it, that we could make something that would sound way better than anything anyone else had ever experienced. And then it was just a matter of figuring out what other aspects of the design needed to be addressed so that we could help with the installation, make it easier to install, reduce noise that would be usually presented out through the back of these speakers. So a lot of these guys that even in-wall speakers, in-ceiling speakers, in-wall speakers, the biggest problem that they usually have is sound is being traveling, you know, is traveling out the back, usually disturbing people in adjacent rooms. Correct. Either above or below, or not below always, but to the left or to the right in adjacent rooms. So
correct.
Creating a solution that would address that problem as well. But our main focus was sound quality. That was out of the gate. Our number one goal was to have something that sounded phenomenal.
Yeah, and with your typical in-wall, in-ceiling speaker that, you know, like I said, is losing or leaking audio to the other rooms, is because they're open-backed speakers, and whenever you cover that to prevent the audio loss, it typically loses the quality of the audio going forward. It's compromising it, if you will. Now, before we even get into the technology of Nakamitone, the design and everything else, I think, you know, we keep saying invisible speakers. We should probably say, and you know, for a lot of people listening, probably may already know. I mean, they might be installers and, like you said, have experience with invisible speakers, but there are probably a lot of people that don't know. And I've, you know, sure, posted a few Nakamitone pictures on my Instagram feed, and a lot of my friends are like, I don't get it. I can see them clear as day. How are they invisible speakers? So maybe if you could define for me or kind of explain, what does invisible speaker even mean?
That's a great question, Johnny. And thanks, by the way, for posting some of those pictures on your social media. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I believe in your product, and so I like posting the kind of stuff that I deal with. So, yeah, you're welcome.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. So, yeah, for the listeners out there who may not even know what an invisible speaker is, you know, sometimes I say invisible speaker to my friends as well, and they go, oh, invisible, you know, right here, right in midair, right? There's nothing here. That's invisible. Well, yes and no. That's not exactly what we mean. It is still a product. It is a device that needs to be installed into your wall or your ceiling, and typically it goes into a drywall sheet, and it's done either retrofit or new construction. That's one of the beauties as well with our product, which we can look at in detail later. But it's a device that gets installed into the wallboard, and it gets mudded, taped and mudded right over. So it becomes one with the wall or the ceiling. So meaning it's patched, just like when they're installing a piece of drywall, it gets tape onto it, either paper tape or fiberglass, and then it gets mud. So the same plaster drywall compound that they use to fix up seams when they're doing new installations or patching. So it just gets mud right over top of the surface. That's why we have a black surface. And yes, sometimes people are like, well, why is that black? It's gonna, you know, it needs to be invisible. Well, yeah, we want it to be black because we want the drywaller, painter, whoever's covering the surface to get mud over the entire surface. That means that it has been properly installed when you don't see the black surface any longer. And then it's part of the wall or the ceiling. It can get painted, wallpapered. There's other finishes as well that we're working with now that we're able to accommodate. So it's exciting. It just becomes part of your overall build, or in retrofit situations, we're able to patch all those grills that, you know, other audio video companies have done, or if an audio video company has upgraded to start using Nakamitones, they can go back to those clients, offer this as a new retrofit solution, and patch up any holes that were created back in the day when they were using the grills.
Thank you for explaining what invisible speaker means. And now that I think we all kind of have an understanding of what an invisible speaker is and how it is put and becomes a part of your wall, can you maybe break down, how does that even work? How does an invisible speaker become a part of the wall? Because I know you're not supposed to play them without that surface. Like, it, because it becomes part of the wall, it uses that surface or wall or ceiling in this case for audio playback, correct?
Correct, yeah. So that's an excellent question as well. We've had dealers who have purchased our product, and they're excited to get their hands on it. And they've taken our product out of the box, plugged it into an amplifier, and started listening to it. And then I get the call, or one of our guys, and they say, well, Eric, how come it sounds so, you know, thin? It doesn't sound the way it sounds like when you gave us the demonstration, or one of our, you know, our rep here in our area gave us a demonstration of the product. What's wrong? What's up? And, well, you know, in some cases, I've gone through all the steps trying to figure out, well, what could be wrong? And then my last question has been, oh, did you actually put drywall, mud, and tape onto the surface of our product? Mm-hmm. And then they say no. Well, that's part and parcel of making the product sound the way it does sound. So Gottfried, when he started creating this technology, he started from the surface. So he imagined that most people will want paint or wallpaper to finish the surface of this product. So he decided that, okay, in order to do this, we need to have some type of surface that this can be applied to and become seamless with the surface that it's built into. And he started working backwards from that point on. So as you work your way back from the surface of the material that you're finishing it with, that is how he engineered the overall method of the sound being produced on the soundboard. So there is a soundboard that this drywall compound, 16th inch or approximately a 16th inch drywall compound, is adhered to.
Okay.
And behind there, there's a soundboard. And then we have electronic devices that work together and are engineered along with the back box and everything that we have going on with the CRT technology in our product to create the sound just like a musical instrument. So great question people always ask, well, how do you make it work? How does it work? Well, imagine how the soundboard on a piano or on a guitar has micro vibrations when the strings are strummed or hit with the hammers or whatever you call them in the pianos, and it creates the vibrations in the soundboard. Sound is being produced from that soundboard, and micro vibrations are sending out the sound throughout the room or the space. That's the same type of sound that Gottfried engineered in the CRT technology that he created, and that's how he's able to give you 180 degree dispersion as well and do it invisibly. So hopefully that answers your question. That was a little bit long-winded, and
that's okay.
Probably got into a few details that hopefully help out.
It does. Can you tell me what the CRT technology, what does CRT stand for in that?
So CRT, controlled resonance technology. And I think we're going to start going back more to controlled resonant technology, meaning we're taking every single vibration that's being created by our electronic devices and controlling them. And that's how we're able to create sound. So typically, when you talk about speakers, most guys say, well, resonance is bad, right? Most speaker companies are trying to eliminate resonance, and that's all right. And that's true when you're dealing with regular drivers where they're pushing air and they're trying to create sound using a standard woofer. With our technology, we're taking the resonance and we're using it to our advantage, but it's a matter of controlling it and allowing the input, in this case the speaker input, into our speaker, because that's what it is, and controlling it so that it's produced like as if it was an instrument, but being able to give the full range of sound. So CRT encompasses everything in our product, so everything from the back box right through to the surface material. Even our soundboard is specifically designed and engineered and produced for us to our specifications. And everything in between. So that's CRT.
Okay, thank you. And now in terms of, we talked about different types of surfaces that your Nakamoton speakers can accommodate. I would assume the typical we talked about is drywall that you will tape in mud into. But the very first demos that I had in the showroom where I work at, they don't come that way. They're actually in wood. And or a wood casing with looks like possibly a type of I can't even think of the word because
it's MDF. Yeah,
MDF. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So the demo walls that many of our sales reps have around the world, and those are, by the way, available to dealers as well. So if you're not interested in building them in, or you don't have a place to build them in, you can buy these demo walls just like our sales reps have. And these are great because you can take them, they're portable, and demonstrate them to your end users, or in your case, with you being a dealer, you were able to hear them that way. So yes, the materials that we can put our product into are, it's basically limitless, meaning any surface that you can finish in a manner that's going to have a skim coat. So we can do drywall compound. By the way, the units that you heard, they have drywall compound on them. We only use the MDF plywood core type of material because of the durability. If we were to ship drywall pieces around, you can imagine what would happen to the drywall. It wouldn't hold up. So the actual material that's on the soundboard of our speaker that's in those MDF demo walls, it is just drywall compound. It's just taped and mudded in there the same way as it would be if it was in drywall.
Okay.
Drywall sheets. So it's really no different than drywall sheets, what you're hearing in those demo walls.
Yeah.
Only one of the differences in the demo walls, because it's a smaller surface, acoustically, the bass will go lower when it's in a larger wall surface. or ceiling surface. So that's one thing that we always point out.
Really?
So our base, it will, yeah. So when we measure our product, it goes down to, the ACTA at least goes to 65 hertz when it's built into a full wall or ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in that smaller wall, acoustically, it's only probably rolling off around 90, 95 hertz, which is still better than many built-in products out there, but wow. Something to note.
Yeah, that is good to know. Did not know that. With the ECT model, or I believe any of the models, because I know you will be releasing some new models soon at CEDIA.
Yes.
The speaker itself comes with different thickness adapters for different, obviously, surfaces. You know, and not everyone has a 5/8 sheetrock or 3/4 or 1/2 inch or whichever you may have, and depending on codes or where you live in the world would dictate that, and the mud and such as well. So you have, which each speaker comes with, multiple thickness adapters for that surface or ceiling, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just simply call them spacers, and you're right, we have three different thicknesses that are shipped with the product, and it allows you to go from, I believe it's 1/4 inch thick wall surface or wall board or ceiling board, whatever it may be, all the way up to 1 inch. So anything in between, even if you're dealing with old, you know, some places have lath and plaster,
yeah,
where it's actually, it varies. You know, you might have one surface that's 3/4 inch and another surface that's 5/8. You can use these spacers that we ship with the product to adapt so that the product sits 1/16 inch indented in the surface. That's what we want you to do. We want you to have that soundboard 1/16 inch indented, and then that allows the drywaller or the painter to plaster or mud the surface so that it becomes flat with the rest of the surface. So that's what those spacers are for.
And now, everything is, to my knowledge, your company, the entire product offering is all made there in Canada, correct?
It is, yeah. So that's an really interesting and exciting part of what we do, and we're proud of it too, is it's all made right here in Canada. So we can proudly say made in Canada. Even our designing and engineering occurs here as well. Some of our pieces, you know, parts do come from places like the US. So some of our sound deadening material that we use in our product does get shipped up from the US. It's a recyclable material made out of gene material. So, you know, we like to tout also our horn about being very green friendly and good to the environment as well. So a lot of our processes take that into consideration too.
Yeah, it's not a bad process to instill to recycle and such.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's great. I think that's great that your manufacturing is there locally. It's really tough, you know, at least where I live here stateside, and in the States, to say, you know, truly made here locally, when a lot of things I think are outsourced to other countries, and I understand why, is obviously to, you know, keep costs down and get the product made, but that doesn't necessarily equal quality. And if you're doing something locally, at least you can kind of guarantee your quality because you're there to oversee it, or someone is at least. And it's tougher when that stuff is outsourced. So to make something locally, I think, you know, comes with a sense of pride, obviously, but also as well as, being able to ensure, you know, that your product is made to the specs that it was designed to from day one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what, Johnny, we've been really blessed that way, to be in a place like Toronto, like the Toronto area. I don't know if your listeners know, but just to give them some background, the Toronto area is one of the biggest hubs for manufacturing for the auto sector, as well as many technology companies, many other great audio video brands that are on the, you know, being offered to the world is made right here in the Toronto area. So when we decided to share our product with the rest of the world, I was surprised to see how many of the manufacturers are right here in our backyard. And they were very receptive, very easy to work with. And, you know, you're right. We're able to have full control in order to deliver the best quality product. Everything we ship out has been tested before it goes out our doors. And And that's huge. In today's day and age, the installers want something that's going to perform very well. They want the manufacturer to be able to stand behind the product. And in many cases, manufacturers, you know, have just a label. They're just manufacturers as a label, but their product's coming from overseas, and usually they don't even see the product before it goes to the dealer.
Right.
In our case, you know, we're touching and feeling the product, making sure everything is to our standards and to our quality, and absolutely something that we should be proud of, and we are.
I think that that'll come across as well with your dealers or and reps that deal with the product day in, day out, is that you know, they're not just putting in another speaker, if you will. You know, they're actually putting in a product that they know is quality, and it's already been tested, so they don't have to worry. You know, they know what they're getting, basically. And I think that is another reason to work with companies like yourself. You know, one, obviously the manufacturing, the quality being, I think, you know, coming from Nike Mouton, coming from the dealers, quality is always going to be something that's desired. And so to have that that local hands-on is definitely going to ensure that type of product going out day in and day out to from the manufacturer, from yourself, to the dealer, to the homeowner, and all parties being fully enjoyed of what is being received in the end.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We totally agree with that. And as we've been ramping up our production here to meet the demands of our growing market, we've obviously looked at, you know, what is it to do stuff overseas, and what are our competitors doing? And we know what it costs to have stuff manufactured overseas. It's not that difficult to find out.
Right.
And the reality today is, because of the fluctuations in currency, as well as the cost of shipping product over, it's not that big of a difference to keep it local. And even if it costs a bit more, it does definitely cost us more to keep it local. And we pride ourselves on that. We want to have a product that's made in Canada. We will always have a product that's made here in Canada. And that's been one of our biggest discussions as we've ramped up our production and as we project into the future. So we're preparing to do a lot more right here locally.
That's great. And that's also, you know, creating jobs for your local community, which I think is also really important. All those things are really good, and it's good to see companies like yourself doing very much that. You know, it's creating more jobs for your area. It is creating the quality. You are able to oversee, again, quality all around, and I think that's very important. We talk about, yes, maybe it's cheaper to go overseas, but at the same time, that's not only maybe reducing quality, but it is kind of taking from the job market in your area. And a lot of times that may be the case, and it can be unfortunate.
It is. And it's too bad that so many, you know, especially in our industry with technology, it's very tempting for the technology companies to go elsewhere.
Right.
And we're here in Canada, we're here to stay. So it'll be fun.
Really quick. Again, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Ingram Micro. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check them out. I'll give you one guest, if you haven't listened to the show, would be Onkyo. They are on their website. They are one of my previous guests among the many who've also been a part of Ingram Micro distribution. So if you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check them out. And you're only getting the one guest name. You have to listen to the past shows to realize the rest of my guests that have been on the show and are part of distribution over at ingrammicro.com. Let's talk about how many product offerings that your company currently has on the market today.
So today, currently we're shipping the ECT, the Moy, and very shortly the Good. And
okay,
possibly by the time you air this, it'll be just days, or we may already be shipping the Good. The ECT is obviously our top-of-the-line model. That's what we've kind of talked about so far, was the ECT model going down to 65 hertz, having a very musical sound to it, very refined. And that would be your, you know, the product to start with. If someone's building a speaker into their wall or ceiling, our thinking behind it is they probably want the very best sound quality, performance, and they're going to be building it in for a long period of time. Why not put in the best? So the ECT is the model that most dealers are moving and selling. And And then we have the step down, which is called the Moy. Still a great sounding speaker and, you know, very good on its own as well. But just a lower price point. And then the next step down will be called the Good. And the Good model will be the one that's shipping very shortly, maybe shipping as this airs. And a model that we were prototyping and showing last year at Cedia to the dealer. So we really wanted to fill the space of the range of price points for the dealers. We recognize that there's different budgets out there that they have to work with, and we really wanted to address that. So the Good model will be able to address this. And if you are going to be attending Cedia, make sure you drop by our booth, because we're going to fill in that range even further. So that's just a little sneak peek or little thing that I can drop here, saying that we will be filling that range even further. So biggest feedback we've received from our dealer base is, why not have a full range of price points, really, in terms of quality as well. And we think we're going to be able to please everyone when they drop by our booth this year and see what we have to offer.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with Cedia, you should check it out if you are in the residential market or custom electronics. Cedia is Custom Electronic Design Installation Association, company or organization, if you will, that I am gladly a part of. I feel it's very, very good community to be a part of, especially if you're in this industry, the AV or IT or custom homes, buildings industry. It is very important to be a part of. And if you've never been, I would say at least try it this year. It is at or in Austin, Texas, to my knowledge. And if I'm wrong,
Dallas.
Oh, I knew I was going to be wrong. It's still in Texas.
It's close.
I don't know how close there, because I've never been to Texas. I have a friend from there. She would probably be upset that I confused the two.
I hope you're coming. You're coming this year, right, Johnny?
I don't know if I'm. I had to take a vacation from work, my day job, where I sell your speakers, to go to Infocom. So that was my first vacation in 3 years. So it was a vacation to cover the show.
Oh, boy.
But you know what? It was good. I love our industry so much. And people ask me, you know so much about this and that. And, you know, don't you ever get bored? And I always say no, because technology changes so frequently. It's tough to stay on ahead of the curve, which I'm upset that I just said that, but I don't know a better way to say there, because technology changes so much, there's just no way to know it all. And I think that's why I like it so much, is because I'm constantly learning.
For sure, yeah.
And I don't think that I ever want to stop learning. I think it's great. And, you know, now going back to your product specifically, you know, we talk about invisible speakers. You know, it's the old, if I have to, I'll put one in. And, you know, quality, clarity, and isn't something that I typically think of with an invisible speaker. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, they're okay. You know, they're not super great, but they're not bad. They're just, you know, it's kind of a solution that exists because I needed something, like I said, because the designer didn't want to see a speaker.
Yeah, for sure.
With your product, I feel that quite the opposite. I was very much blown away when my bosses brought them back. You know, they came from the Cedia that you guys had released in the U.S. market. And that was like the one thing that they couldn't stop talking about. I was like, an invisible speaker, really? Oh, okay, you know, I'll buy it, sure. And, you know, and then my rep came to the air and he brought the demo. And I was like, wow, I did not really expect for you to be what they had talked about. I'm like, nah, maybe they're just, you know, really hyped. They came back from a trade show, big eyes, things are flashing. It's like going to like a, look at an LED show or a light show, and everything's just like, you're blinded by it. You're like, ooh, everything's sparkly. But no, quality and clarity was something I was surprised with, because like I said, you know, it's not something that I think of with an invisible speaker, because it's kind of, you know, it's not bad, but it's not super great. In this case, it actually is very great, and I'm surprised.
That's the surprise that, you know, when I go and do demos these days, I have trouble being surprised that the dealer's surprised, because it's like a textbook reaction.
Because you just know.
You know, what you just described is what we're up against every day. And it's, you know, some of the dealers that are reluctant to give us the time and day or our reps the time and day, I encourage them to reach out to us because they will be pleasantly surprised. And if they're not ready to do our product today, I guarantee they'll be ready for our product very soon, because more and more people are starting to go into the invisible category in terms of the design of their spaces. And it's important for them to have something that they're proud of putting into the projects that they're working on. You know, that's been a problem. A lot of guys were scared to turn on their invisible speakers when they were installing the other brands and other solutions that are out there. Now they can have something that they can proudly turn on and listen to, and everybody can be happy with them. They can offer them throughout the entire project. It's no longer just for your dining room. It's for the entire home. So that's what we're finding too with dealers, is invisibles are going into every single space in the home, from surround sound all the way through to their en suites.
Very much agree. I tell this to people every day, is that times have changed very much from when I was a child, or even before that, because I'm not as old as some of my peers in the industry, and I'm often referred to as the young AV kid, or something like along those lines.
I've been referred to that my whole life.
Yeah, and so I just said, yeah, I know, I'm the youngin', right? So, audio in the past, is typically a large floor-standing speaker, or maybe a two-channel system that you sit 5 feet away from, and it just depends on whose loudspeaker it is, and they, we have Toen, you sit about 5 feet away, and then you sit back and enjoy, and that's your general listening experience, or it had been in the past. Roughly for something sure. along those lines. And now, it is very much the opposite when we talk about design. That word doesn't really fit with the scenario that I just described. That's not necessarily a design. That's a room that's dedicated for something like that. Because
and
that scenario doesn't fit into the design, if you will.
Exactly. And we tell people, we say, hey, we understand that you still may want to have your audiophile stereo speakers, the $100,000 setup or maybe more. Pair of speakers where you have your nice, Eames chair where you sit back and you're in the perfect sweet spot when your head hits, 30 degrees, mm-hmm. and you're able to sit there and listen to your vinyl. That's awesome. That's great for some people. And in those homes, do that. But for the rest of the home, you still want great sound. The rest of the family wants to listen to music as well. Then put in the invisible speakers.
Correct. And that's where I think the word design comes into play, because with an invisible speaker, it becomes a part of the design. It becomes a part of the space, and it really isn't taking up space on the floor, which is valuable space in any project that I've ever been on, because typically, like when I think audio, I think the word art. Whether that's a floor standing or not, music is an art. And mm-hmm. in terms of design, the big dedicated rooms, that's great. If you have the space for that, that can be a part of design, but you need to account for that. And a lot of times it's people, they want to free up space from their flooring. Everyone loves to hear audio, but not necessarily want to see it anymore.
That is a very good point, Johnny. And if you think about how we interact with music today, most people would like to have music as part of their life. So that this really means taking music and having it in your kitchen, having it in your eat-in area, having it in your family room, having it outside. That's part of how we live today. We want to have that music follow us throughout the home, and that alone presents itself with so many obstacles. Obviously, they really don't want to have speakers that, are on their floor or hanging off their walls. Those days are gone. But they would like to have them built in. And one of the issues that we really found with built-in speakers, and we're not talking about invisible speakers, we're talking about regular in-ceiling or in-wall speakers, is the dispersion.
Mm-hmm.
Dispersion meaning how much of the sound is being projected out of the speaker, in what angle, and where you can actually hear it. So in most kitchens, people are listening to speakers, a pair of speakers in their ceiling, and they're only hearing maybe 25 to 30% of the information that's being produced by this pair of speakers. Because if you have an island and you have a speaker flanking the island, if you're on one end of the island, you're only hearing one speaker. You're not hearing the other side of it. You're not hearing the left channel or the right channel. Or if you move in the space, again, you're missing one of the channels because of the dispersion. So with CRT, we're able to address this. Our product will disperse the sound 180 degrees. And this is something that really blows away many people. And they'll go exclusively with our product for this reason. We're able to put a pair of speakers in that same spot where you would have had your regular in-ceiling speakers. And we're able to cover the entire space because we're able to project the sound into all those areas. And you can be anywhere in the kitchen and have very comfortable stereo sound. So that's another bonus that you get with our technology. Not only is it invisible, but it sounds much better wherever you are in the space once they're installed there. And you're able to use less of our product. So many times, you know, integrators, if they're smart, they're putting in many pairs of in-ceiling speakers because that's how you're able to then get proper coverage. But that can be a big nightmare as well if you're trying to hide those grills up into the ceiling and match them up with the pot lights and whatever else is going up on the ceiling. So we can reduce the amount of speakers, less points where the sound is being produced, but be able to project it 180 degrees. So that's another value add that you know, many of the integrators might not clue into until they realize that, hey, holy smokes, I can just put one pair instead of two pairs of speakers in this space.
Right. That's a good point. A wider dispersion rate or angle that is good for off-axis listening, if you will. I've had a few discussions with some of my audio friends about when enjoying music. We talked about this, or I mentioned this scenario where, you know, maybe you have a room where you sit in a chair about 5 feet away, kind of hunched over, and you know, and you kind of try and enjoy that music, and that's your space.
Yeah.
But when I talk about audio, it's an art form, and maybe you're having a dinner party, or maybe you're even at an art gallery, and there's music playing, and there's conversations going, and there's different interactions with people, and the music's going, and you're a part of that experience. You're not always going to be in that position to sit in that position that I talked about, where that's your listening position. That's your quote unquote sweet spot. Another word that I don't like using, but it exists for that description.
It does.
But it is more common to enjoy audio in not just by yourself and not that room, in more scenarios where you're with friends or family at events, and you're moving around the space more than just sitting in one space.
That is so true, Johnny. And those are the scenarios where a product that's able to do 180 degree dispersion will really fill that space with sound wherever you are and have enjoyable, good clarity, especially if you're using CRT by Necuma Tone, where you're able to get all the frequencies being projected into your hearing space.
Okay. So now we've talked about the models and the proposed models that we'll be launching soon. We have the ACT, the Moy, and the Good.
Good, yes. GOED. So do you want a little snippet about our names, where they come from?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So our actual name, Necuma Tone, is Finnish. So Finland. Many people think that, oh, Necuma Tone sounds Japanese. Well, you're wrong. It's not Japanese. It's actually Finnish. Japanese love the Finns, and Finns love Japanese too. But it is a Finnish word, and Necuma Tone in Finnish means invisible. So what we did is we added the E for tone, so invisible tone. Another great little thing that you put on the web for us, Johnny, thanks a lot. That reminded us that we should probably let people know where the name comes from, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping us out with that.
My pleasure.
That's our name. Very simple to explain. It's invisible tone. And the names of our product, because our other co-founder, Godfried, is Dutch, all our names are four-letter words in Dutch.
Okay.
So not your typical four-letter words, but good words that we need to use for describing our product. So ACT means real, authentic. That's really what it is. It's the real sound. It's the real deal. It's an authentic sounding product, and that's why we call it the ACT. So that's the top of the line model.
Okay.
The Moy means nice. It's a nice sounding speaker. It's still a really nice product. you know, we'd love to put it up against other products in its price category or even higher, and you'll love it. It'll sound nice. So that's why it's called Mooi. The good means good. So G-O-E-D in Dutch means good. And very simply, we know that dealers love to have a good, better, and best, and that's your good model. It'll still sound awesome, have the same CRT technology. We'll have a lot of the same characteristics that the bigger brothers have, but it's a good speaker. So that's the names that we have. And if you are at CEDIA, drop by and we're going to show you another four letter word that is Dutch as well that we'll be introducing at CEDIA.
Spoiler here on AV Insider. Hey,
absolutely.
I kind of had a feeling it was a good, better, best model, but I wasn't sure because I don't speak the language. So yeah. I always tell people, you know, I've been known to know a thing or two about a thing or two, and when I don't, I ask professionals, which is why I'm actually on the show. but I was really hoping that last speaker was going to mean, the good was going to mean speaker, so it would be a naming scheme like really nice speaker.
Really nice speaker. Yep, really nice good.
Really nice good. Extra good. So the fourth one has to be really nice good. Oh man, I don't even know. You're going to make me think about this until CEDIA.
Yeah, you'll never guess it.
I have no idea.
I'll give you a clue. It's maybe leaning towards a figure. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it even throw me even farther.
Yeah.
We've talked about the product offering. We've talked about finishes, surfaces, invisible naming schemes, quality made there in Canada, dealers. Really quick. So obviously you have dealers. Do you have any sort of distribution model or is it direct to dealer currently?
So currently we have everything. So okay. Johnny, as a company that's new to the market, you know, it takes time to establish itself with the right reps, the right distributors. So we are using mainly the rep agency model in the US market, meaning, you know, just like yourself, you met our rep, he comes in, he has the demo models, he's able to be our rep, and we're using rep agencies mainly in the US. Now we have recently signed up some distributors and we're open to speaking with the right people who are of the right caliber and have the right ability to sell our product within their product offering. So we are looking at distributors in the Southeast. We just joined up with Aim High and they'll be stocking our product down there for the Florida market and the Southeastern part of the US. So where it makes sense, we will be using distributors, and around the world, definitely. We really need to use distributors because of the cultural, language, all these different other barriers that at this point we don't want to directly deal with. So we are using distributors. We're working with a fabulous rep company here from Canada, from BC, which is LVZ, Linda Van Zieten and her team, and they're helping us set up various distributors around the world, and so far we're off to the races. We've done really well. We have Sweden, Denmark, Latin America, and we're talking to many other countries as we speak right now. So we have other countries that will be opening up too. And the UK. I didn't fail to mention the UK, which was one of the first countries that we shipped to across the pond.
Wow, you have been very, very busy.
Sure have, yes.
That's good, though. I'm glad. I'd like to see the company expand. I'm curious to see where you go next. And CEDIA will be, I think, the next marker for the company.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Okay, I won't ask you that because I forgot what I was going to ask you. So ignore the question that I didn't ask you because I didn't ask it.
It was an invisible question.
It was an there you go. Eric, you're a good guy. I like you. You're funny. let's talk about audio. I'm big on audio quality, and your speakers are quality. Let's talk about around the office there. Do you guys have music playing? Do you guys do like a disc copy? Do you listen to vinyl, CDs, streaming? What's the taste around the office there?
Well, there's a wide range of music. You know, some of the younger guys really love their electronic type of music.
Okay.
I don't even know what you guys call it these days.
There's so much of it, I couldn't even... That's a longer conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So everything from very electronic music right through to, you know, the good stuff like Pink Floyd.
They just came out with a new album.
Yeah, Diana Krall, you know, light jazz, stuff like that. That's I really enjoy the light jazz.
Okay.
And but you know what? When we go out to dealers and we present our product, we want them to have some type of music that they can recognize and something that they're using on their very top-of-the-line systems to listen to to our product. And that's what I think usually blows people away is we're not scared to take whatever music you have and play it through our product because we know how it will sound. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be as it was intended to be heard. And that's why I think that there is such a range of music that's playing through. You know, we have it playing through our speakers. At homes, you know, our engineer and myself and, you know, in our family, we have, you know, a drawing towards the British brands like Bowers and Wilkins. So we have some of their vintage equipment, you know, some of their Diamond Series, BMWs, and... for the electronics, we like to use some of the Canadian brands like Bryston to drive them.
Hmm.
And some other more esoteric stuff as well that that we play around with. So we enjoy music. We know that there's so much out there to explore always with the way you can tweak audio systems. And we do enjoy that side of it a lot. And that's what's really... pushed our product to sound the way it sounds as well, just because of the appreciation that that we have for music. Just to get, can I give you a little bit of background about Gottfried?
Of course.
Yeah. So he, you know, in his early days, I guess it was the early 90s, late 80s, must have been early 90s. He worked for a company called Karma, which is a company in the Netherlands. It still exists today. So if anybody's interested, they can look up Karma with a K. And they produce speakers that are really audiophile class, high-end. Charles, the founder of the company over there, does some phenomenal work. And that's where Gottfried got, you know, some of his first roots in the audiophile industry or music industry, as we call it, producing a crossover for a speaker that they were working on back then, which was commissioned by a very wealthy individual who was building a place for listening to music, which is a bomb shelter of all places. He wanted it to sound like a perfect symphony down there. So they were producing a speaker, a pair of speakers, or probably multiples, to produce this sound. They were commissioned to do this for $1 million back then.
Wow.
And Gottfried had the pleasure of working on that crossover for that pair of speakers. So, you know, we're proud of being able to be part of the very top end of the audiophile spectrum, but also be able to adapt some of that appreciation and be able to deliver it to the market as a whole. So, you know, a lot of integrators are out there. And, you know, they just passively, I guess, underestimate what they can do with their systems. You know, they don't stop and go, holy smokes, you know, we're able to deliver really good sound into people's homes. And we just want to be able to assure those integrators that we're able to produce the best for them and they can do it with confidence when they're putting our product into their system. So. That was all from asking me what kind of music we like.
That's the best explanation ever.
So,
for everyone listening earlier in the show, it sounded like there was a little bit of rustling on the mics and things like that. You can't see it, but Eric was also installing some Necumatone speakers and then drywall the whole time, so that's what that was. This gentleman works as hard as he talks on the podcast. He's never not working. Necumatone speakers made in Canada. If you're interested in learning more about Necumatone Invisible Loudspeakers, you can head over to the website. It's NakyMatone.com, Necumatone.com. If you are curious to learn a little bit more about controlled resonance technology, CRT technology, Or CRT, if you will. I think I just
said it. It's a little bit goofy because we say CRT technology, but it's controlled resonance technology.
Yeah, I just realized.
It'll mess you up.
Yeah, it's like when people tell me HDMI interface or LED diode.
Yeah, it's the same problem.
Yeah, I'm like, anyway, you want to learn more about that, head over to the website. There's a little space on the page where you can learn more about that. You can learn about the install, the design, dealers. Obviously, you can log in there. If you want to check out some of their picks, you can. But I think the first step, if you're just interested in learning more about Nakamatone Speaker, just head to the website, nakamatone.com, NakyMatone.com. If you are curious, maybe you want to get a demo, is the best way, if they're looking to maybe speak with a local rep, should they call you or call the office out there?
Yeah, you know what? We're very flexible. You know, we realize that dealers are busy and sometimes they don't even have time to call us. So we'll answer questions that we get on Instagram. You know,
there
so
you go.
Guys that are out there that are on Instagram, just look for us at Nakamatone, and you can send us a message there. Or if you have time, you know, give us a call, or you know, send us an email if you're still doing that kind of stuff, and you know, link up with us on Facebook or Twitter, and you know, we're going to answer your questions however we can make it the easiest for you. So we know that you live a busy life. If you can fill in our contact form on the website with a little bit more information about yourself, we'll be sure to contact you. So whatever is easiest for you, do it. We'll get in contact with you.
I like companies that are active on their social accounts. And since you mentioned the Instagram, I'll say it again. It is at Nakamatone. They're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Nakamatone. Simple and easy. On Twitter, it is also at Nakamatone. They're also on Google+. You can find them there. The website, as I mentioned previously, is Nakamatone.com. Contact info is all there on the homepage. The bottom phone number, info@Nakamatone.com, is email. There's also one for support. You can learn more about the CRT technology, which I just said again. Controlled Resonance Technology. There you go. That's how I'm feeling today. And if you guys have any questions for me, you can reach out to me on Twitter, should it still exist tomorrow, at jmota3, J-M-O-T-A, the number 3. Facebook, LinkedIn, because, you know, that exists also. And pretty much everywhere else, I will respond. If you want to email me about the show, tell me you loved it, tell me you hate it, you want to be a guest on the show and talk about your products, I'm open to all those things. Just don't send spam. You can tell me you hate the show, just don't send spam. It's Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, M-O-T-A, the number 3, @gmail.com. Reach out to me and let me know what your thoughts are. We can talk technology, audio, video, automation, lighting control. We can just talk about coffee because I like coffee. Whatever you want to do. That's my email. Eric, thank you for taking the time today from your life and schedule. I greatly appreciate your time, your knowledge base. And I am a believer in Nakamatone Invisible Speakers quality for a reason.
That's awesome, Johnny. Thank you so much for having me and taking the time to have me on the show. I appreciate it. And thanks for believing in Nakamatone. And hopefully we can turn some others over to believing what we have to offer too.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, and I'd like to have you back maybe after CDO or down the line as Nakamatone expands and some of the lines are announced later, which I will be guessing feverishly until October, trying to figure out what that last one is. I still can't even wrap my head about what it even could be. But yeah, I'd like to have you back, and maybe if you want to bring some of the other team on, we can talk, get more into depth. But for now, it has been my pleasure. I learned a lot, and thank you again, everyone. This has been AV Insider, and we will catch you next time.